While you're getting ready, I'll say a few words. And maybe then you'll have a word too. Praise the Lord. You know what? This motto up here struck me where it says, be ye holy. No, this motto says holiness unto the Lord. But in Exodus we read, be ye holy as I am holy. Is that hard to do? Is that a difficult command? Think about it. Be ye holy as I am holy. How is that possible? How can we do it? We shake our heads, right? And we say, I don't know. But you know how? The Lord living in us and makes changes in us. That's how we become more and more like Him. And then we can say, or follow that command, be holy as I am holy. And we read of different people that had great experiences with the Lord, and the holiness of the Lord just fell upon them. We think of Moses in the book of Exodus, and he saw the Lord in this burning bush, and he wanted to look at it. And when he looked at it, the Lord said, turn around, don't look at it. Take off your sandals. Take off your sandals and worship me and know that I am a holy God. God came to him and met him there, didn't he? In our services on Sunday evening, we are going through right now the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is a wonderful, wonderful book. He was one of the five major prophets. I don't know if you know the differences between them all. We had to memorize that in Bible school. First five books of the books of law, the next 12 books of the books of history, the next five books of the books of poetry, the next five books is the books of major prophets, and the last 12 books, minor prophets. And that's how we had to memorize it. We knew where everything was. And Isaiah was one of those major prophets who really served the Lord. And through his book, we learn that the Lord is a great creator. We learn so much about the Lord in the book of Isaiah. He's a great creator. He's our strength when we are weak. He takes pleasure in us when we trust in him. He warns us when we are careless. Isn't that true? And then also we find that he's the Savior. He's the King. He's our friend. And he does more for us than we can ever imagine. Just imagine to have a friend like Jesus that's always with us. It's always our best friend. And I'm so thankful for that. And we also find that he speaks about that broken and contrite heart. What does that mean? Someone that can really come down under the convictions of the Holy Spirit and is broken because of sin in the life, and God can sustain that, restore that, and change that. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord can do in each and every one of us. But Isaiah, he was a prophet that would preach repentance, judgment, reconciliation, and so forth. There's a few verses that I just want to share with you, and one is in Isaiah, the 16th chapter, and the 5th verse, where he prophesies, and he says, then God will establish one of David's descendants as king. And who would that be? Yeah? Who said it? Then God will establish one of David's descendants as king. Who would that be? The Lord himself, right? And he will rule with mercy and truth, and he will always do what is just and be eager to do what is right. So we know that the Lord promises punishment for those that rebel against him and peace for those who repent and come to him. And so we read here how Isaiah is portraying the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. You know, he uses that term 25 times, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of God. And he portrays this Holy One of Israel as someone that's very great, and good beyond our understanding. We can't even comprehend all that. The goodness and the greatness of God. It's so awesome, isn't it? When we think about the goodness and the greatness of God, can we really understand that? When he thinks of coming into my heart and into my life and making my life different, changing my heart and life, what a difference that is. And he also portrays him as one that is eternally existing. Can you imagine? The Lord is forever, 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 forever. Can you imagine? Eternity, existing all the time. And not only that, He's present everywhere. He's present with us here. He's present with us at home, at the church. He's present throughout the world. And it's real. The presence of the Lord is real. If you haven't experienced, you better seek the Lord. Because His presence is so very real and so very near. Like He's right there. And He is. He's right there all the time. And I'm so thankful for the presence of the Lord and what it means to us and hopefully to you. We read in Isaiah, the 6th chapter, an experience that Isaiah had. He had a vision of the Lord here. And the Lord reveals to him why he should be called the Holy One. It was in the year of King Uzziah's death. He died. The land was peaceful, prosperous. And Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Now let's get a picture of this. This verse here, he saw the Lord. He was on a throne, high lifted up, the train of his robe filling the temple, and the seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And you can imagine this experience that Isaiah had here as he had that vision from the Lord. He was so overwhelmed. And we read on, and it says, and one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. I think they sang more than 3 times holy. I think it was a great big choir singing together, holy, one on this side, some on this side, just singing in choir, like a choir just singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory. And that next verse, now imagine if you were there, and the foundation, it says here, of the threshing fold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filled with smoke. Here he had this vision. The floor, it says here, trembled at the voice, and the temple was filled with smoke. And here he is, having this vision of the Lord, and the Lord saying, holy, angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And what does he say? He says, woe is me. I am ruined. I'm undone. I'm a man unclean. I have unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. This is the secret. For my eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. Something happens when we see Jesus. Something changes in us. And Isaiah had that vision. He said, I saw the Lord. And he realized he was a sinner. He realized he needed to repent and to come to the Lord. And he says, one of the seraphim flew and to put a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. What a statement. Here he was afraid he was going to die. Oh me, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips and so forth. I'm probably going to die this way. But no, the Lord came to him. And he said, your sins are taken away. And after that, he was called to ministry. God was able to use him. But it says that he saw the Lord. What a difference that makes when we see the Lord. And that was the result. He was able to serve the Lord after that. There were others in the Bible that were struck with awe when they saw the Lord, when they had a vision of them, of the Lord himself. And I just want to point out 2 of them. One was in Job, which we're familiar with, Job, the 42nd chapter. In the 4th to 6th verse here, we read here, Job's confession, and he speaks to the Lord, and he says, I know you know everything about me. No purpose of thine can be thwarted, and so forth. And then he goes down, he says, things too wonderful to me, which I did not know, he started to understand the things of God. And then he says, "Hear, and now I will speak. And I will ask thee, and do thou instruct me," speaking to the Lord. And he said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes sees thee. Now my eyes sees thee." We know the struggles that Job had. And he had to come to this point where he saw the Lord. He had a vision of the Lord. And then we read also in the book of Daniel, in the 10th chapter, and the experience that he also had. I just want to share a little bit with you the 10th chapter of Daniel, beginning with verse 7. "Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves." Can you imagine? Here Daniel saw the Lord. He had this vision. The others didn't see it, but yet they felt something. They had to run away, didn't they? "But I heard the sound of his words. And as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. And a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you. Stand upright, for I've now been sent to you.' And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, 'Don't be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words.'" And then we see what God had spoken to him after that, if you want to continue reading that yourself. But here we see how when Daniel had that vision of the Lord, how the Lord came to him, he too felt like he was trembling, like he was nothing in the presence of the Lord. And Timothy speaks about this. Paul speaks about this to Timothy in 1 Timothy. And the sixth verse, 1 Timothy 6, and I just want to share this with you too. And we see here that the Lord came to these men, but they didn't see the fullness of the Lord. But here in 1 Timothy 6, 15, it speaks here in verse 12 already how Paul speaks to Timothy to fight the good fight of faith and so forth. "Keep the commandment without stain," verse 14. "And he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of the Lords, and who alone possesses immortality and dwells in an unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Now, Paul is explaining this to Timothy. No man has actually seen the fullness of the glory of God. We can all have a taste of it. We have seen the Lord come to us and make himself so precious to us. But to see the fullness of the glory of God, someday we'll see that when we're with him. And that's what Paul is instructing here to Timothy. He says, no one has really seen or can see the glory of the Lord and how wonderful and how precious that is. In Isaiah, the 57th chapter, we read here in the 15th verse, Isaiah 57, it says here, "For thus says the Lord, the high and exalted one, who lives and forever, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite." So what is he saying here? He is high, he is lifted up, he sits on the throne, and yet he is very near. "I'm very near," he says. What he says here in that verse, "I am very near, I'm lifted up," and so forth. And you can read that to your, for yourself again. His name is holy. "I dwell in a high and holy place, but also with a contrite and lowly of spirit heart." That's what the Lord is looking for. And that's when the Lord can really dwell within us, when he sees a humble heart, a contrite heart, one that is seeking him, one that's desiring him, one that wants to make us a holy people. So the question is, who makes us holy? Can we do it ourselves? We can work at it. We can ask the Lord to help us, that we would become overcomers. But in Exodus 31:13, it says, I am the one who makes you holy. We cannot do it in ourselves. But it's the Lord himself that helps us to be a holy people. A people that does not want to displease the Lord, but wants to follow him with his whole heart and please him with his whole heart. How the Lord is looking for that. And we know how the Lord even prayed for his disciples in the book of John, the 17th chapter, and how he prayed there for his disciples. And what did he pray for them? Make them holy by your truth. It's the word of God that makes us a holy people. As we read his word and get that truth into our hearts, we do not want to sin against God. We want to be that holy people that he has planned for us. And that should be our prayer again these days, that as we look to him and as we wait upon him, Lord, make me a person that will delight you, that will not grieve you, that will love you, that will follow you, whatever you want for us, your footsteps, and God will do that for us. And he will hear that cry of our hearts, and he will make us the people that he wants us to be. And so let that be our goal, let that be our aim. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword and song. Let's do that. Let's ask the Lord to help us to be the people that he's looking for.
Number 201. Jesus.